first speaker today is coming to us virtually. He is somebody who maybe you've seen online, a very powerful speaker who's been around for years. He was originally under the name Ice Age Farmer. Has anybody heard of Ice Age Farmer before? You might have seen his videos going viral during COVID 1984, doing some really important work talking about food systems. He's recently come back and he's now has a Substack and he's going under the name Unshadowed. His real name is Christian Westbrook. Please welcome him to our virtual stage. Go ahead and take it, brother.
Thank you so beautiful. Thank you so much, Derek. I'm really honored to be here. I'm thrilled to be a part of the People's Reset, and I wish I could be there in person, but I can feel the energy from here. And yeah, so thank you very much. And also to the folks watching at home, glad to be with you. In a way, this is a perfect bridge from the yesterday's spiritual into permaculture day. It's a perfect bridge because, as Derek was just saying, permaculture doesn't just apply to, you know, I've spent many years talking about food, but permaculture doesn't just apply to the garden. And one of the reasons that my design failed on my space a few years ago was because of something that I would say is an overlooked part of permaculture. I've done a few PDCs. I did one with Jeff Lawton, and I'd never heard of some of the concepts that that are now being discussed around what's called Zone 00. So I know we're short on time, so I'm going to get straight into it. And I also heard that a lot of people raised their hands when asked about if you've heard permaculture. So that's good. I think we'll go straight instead of, I was going to go through the principles up front here, but I think we'll dive right into what is Zone 00 and what does that mean? Of course, the zones are like, where do you focus your energies? Zone 0 is where you live most of your time in your house and sort of the immediate space around you. And then going further out, you spend less and less time in those zones. You spend less time maintaining them. And you're still harvesting from them out until zone 5, where it's mostly just observation, not a lot of direct interaction, no direct control. But this is where I think there's something actually fundamentally missing from permaculture. And as I said, this is what was missing from my design. It was a critical, as it turns out, a critical design flaw in the way I was approaching things. Make sure to start my timer here. And that is zone 00. So there's somewhere we spend even more time than zone 0. And that is within ourselves, right? Within our mind, within consciousness itself. And everything that in all the PDCs that I'd seen, and in all the permaculture talks that I'd given and that I'd heard, it was always looking outwardly. And zone 00 flips the whole thing and says, how do we apply those permaculture principles? Because it's a beautiful, right? It's a beautiful design science. And everything that works when we're looking out there and we're looking at these principles and how to apply them, whether that is in the garden or community or your relationships in your family or economic structures, you know, it works beautifully across all of these. So too does it work with the way we approach this fundamental, you know, what is this? What is this experience we're having? How do I deal with, you know, this whole thing? And how do I think about what is reality and how do I approach life design and everything, right? Everything fundamentally. So I think it's, yeah, they call it the forgotten zone in this case. So let's talk about that. What does a good design for zone 00 look like? How do I even approach that? Well, again, mercifully, we can just take those same principles and apply them to this design as well. And so what is a zone 00 design? That is, yes, it's life design. How do we want to spend our time? It's the rituals we build into our days and our practices. It's our spiritual practices or religion, whichever way, whatever works for you. It's the way we, some people call mindfulness, but really it's that observing and interacting with our own awareness, with our own thought patterns, our own emotions. So let's just quickly, since I didn't go through those 12 principles, since most of us are already familiar with them, I think we'll run through those 12 principles and see what it looks like when we flip that lens inwardly and we look at our awareness. All right, so principle number one, observe and interact. Yeah, of course, and a lot of what I'll say for each of these is exactly what we've been saying in previous talks about how to apply the principles, again, whether that's in your garden or anywhere. It means slow down. We're not going to come in with preconceived beliefs and notions and it would be better if I was this way. No, slow down and first observe. right? And smell the garden, see where the energy flows are. That means, where are my emotions on the course of a day? Do I like to rise early and get right to work? Or do I like to sort of sleep in and then I tend to be a night owl? And neither one is better. That would be a preconceived notion. It's just observing yourself and seeing which one happens to be the case. Let the judgments go, because we are going just as with nature and in the garden, we're going with what is already working, because that's how a successful design works, right? So where are my emotions? How do they tend to flow? What feels good? What feels bad? What thought patterns are happening? Where are they wasting my time? And where am I actually making some productive progress with things? What are the good habits? What are the bad habits? Again, you can throw this word mindfulness. It gets thrown around a lot. For some people, you can do journaling. I'm not really good at that. I might lack the discipline, but that's all right. I've left my judgment of that behind. I can just accept that I am better doing these things, or meditating, or just noticing things and trying to make small adjustments over time. But yeah, it all boils down to that timeless principle, know thyself. And with that self-awareness, that is how, and this is why, this is, of course, just as within the garden, that's why it's principle number one. You start there, and then you have a chance of actually doing a good design. We're not coming in with the design that we're imposing upon ourselves any more than we would come in to a space and say, well, I wanted to have the chickens up. No, we're going to do what works with what is already there. Number two, catch and store energy. So, of course, it always goes right to like rainwater and electricity. You don't want to use municipal water. You want to catch the rain. You don't want to use grid power. You want to find alternate solutions. The same principle works for ourselves. We want to harvest and we want to treasure the things in our life that bring us joy, that inspire us. Those are the renewable sources of energy. When I do those things, I feel good. It makes me want to do more of them, and it makes me feel better throughout the day. One practice that I found really is helpful for this, and this is what I mean by storing those good feelings, is making a list of those things. So if I'm having a great day, I can just take a brief moment and write down some of the things that I'm feeling grateful for. Because when I'm not having a great day, then I can go into that gratitude battery and remind myself, like, oh yeah, you know, if I'm thinking, oh man, everything, poor me, things, life is just not going the way I thought it was. And well, those are preconceived notions. We should have left those judgments behind. And then here's this gratitude battery, the gratitude list of things that they just make me feel good. I just feel better when I remember, man, I've got two amazing kids. Man, I'm so lucky to have a good meal today and a warm bed and whatever it is that makes you feel good when you think about it, there's your gratitude battery. Storing energy, and it also means self-care. This is not something that's indulgent or a luxury. It's a fundamental, and here it is. It flows from these design principles, just as it does in your garden, that you need to take care of yourself. You wouldn't expect a garden that you just neglect and you work it constantly, you never take care of it, to have any yield. At some point, it's going to break down. At some point, the battery is going to run empty, right? I'm the same way. And so probably are you. So self-care is something we need to value and to do on a regular basis. And I've always liked the way that this is said, where a poor design leaks energy or leaks the inputs that you're putting into it, but a good design cycles energy, cycles nutrients, cycles things many times. And so if you notice yourself doing behaviors or thought patterns or habits that that leak, that hemorrhage out your energies, whatever that is, if it's a bad habit or if it's just being negative or if it's doom scrolling or if you find yourself in the black pill mentality, which is easy to get to, right? When you read some of the news, or if you're just future tripping about things we fundamentally don't have immediate control over, it's not helpful. It's not a good design for your life. And so this comes into self-regulating. You need to put some boundaries on the amount of time that you do those things. Yes, it's good to stay informed. It's good to be informed so that we can inform others and wake them up. That's all still very important, but that's part of the self-regulating and catching and storing energy. All right, I better hustle here. Obtaining a yield. Yeah, so if a good design gives something back, well, what is a good 0-0 design yield? Well, it means I'm going to feel happier. I'm going to be more stable. I'm going to have more emotional resilience. I'm going to have more energy, and I'm going to do more things. I'm going to be more productive because of all those things. It means I'm going to be more positive in my life, and I'm going to be able, as a result, to execute more right action to make the world a better place, fundamentally, not wasting time. And when you do that, when you implement a good design for your zone 00, that necessarily flows outward. I was going to say infects, but it flows outwards into the people around you, into your friends, into your family, and then into your community, and then into your city and your state and your country. And ultimately, it makes the world a better place. Zone 00 is an important design to get right. Yeah. Number four, apply self-regulation and feedback. I've mentioned this a little bit. And I love the maxim, the permaculture saying, there's no such thing as failure. There's only information. So if you do something and you notice that it's making you feel bad or it's making you feel anxious, maybe we need to find a way to do less of that, right? Maybe we need to hang out with those people less or do less of that activity or not go to that place as frequently. So set some boundaries on the things that are not working for you or the bad habits, right? This is part of shaping your life design in a way that is more intentional. And yes, we are living, obviously, amidst a massive collapse of all systems out there. And that makes it really important for us to structure our own awareness in a way that is resilient to that. Number five, using and valuing renewable resources and services. So we're gonna want to use the energies and the sorts of resources that we need in ways that are naturally renewed, just like we would in our spaces. So when I think of that in a zone 00 context, that means that I drive my inspiration from the human connection around me, the people, the community. It means I get energy necessarily from the things that inspire me or that I'm satisfied by or proud of. When I say there's my chickens over there and I just like them, it just makes me feel good to have those chickens. That's a renewable source of fuel for me. That is on the flip side from the non-renewable sources of energy, which is adrenaline and negativity or outrage and trying to flee, trying to get away from it, trying to isolate from this collapse. You can't hide from what's going on. And it's not going to work. I know a lot of people who've tried. It never has good results. So we need to find a better way to be in the midst of the collapse. Number six, produce no waste. Just as nature, there's no trash, right? So too in life, there's no bad experience. There's painful ones, to be sure, but there's nothing that is without value. And those painful lessons or the trauma that we inevitably encounter in life are, when you view it in this light, they are equipping us with wisdom, with the ability to help the other people around us who inevitably will also have painful experiences, because that is part of life, right? If we just repress it or try and forget it or pretend it didn't happen, then we're really leaving behind the treasure that was encoded into those bad experiences. And instead of positioning ourselves to help our kids go through whatever it is they will eventually go through. So that's why I would say everything, whether it's just in your life or it's at scale, the big collapse we're experiencing now has a purpose, has a good yield that it can produce. And I think this conference is an example of that. It flows from the great reset into the greater reset, now the people's reset. And by the way, a big round of applause for Derek and Miriam and everyone else behind the scenes doing an amazing job putting this together. And it's just fantastic. And I'm honored. Again, I'm honored to be a part of it. Number seven, designing from the patterns, the big picture, down to the details. It doesn't make sense to just sort of micro design. Like, first I'm going to meditate and then I'll do some incense and then I'll, you know, maybe those things work. And we do want to start small. That's coming up soon. We do want to start small and make iterative changes, but really we should start with sort of the holistic view of things. And so starting big, what does that mean? Well, to me, really that's meaning, what are the big questions in your life? What's going on in this? There was a, I highly recommend Matthias Desmet's book, The Psychology of Totalitarianism, because among the reasons I think it was a good book is that it posits this technocratic totalitarianism ridiculousness that's going on is a necessary consequence of the materialistic worldview, that there's something wrong with that whole ontology. And so when we are willing to consider that the problems we're seeing, it's not just economic, it's not just social, it's not just, you know, it's not, no one thing is problematic right now. It's all a problem. And that means we need to step back and say, okay, what's really going on here? Like, there's really something flawed in the way we're viewing reality. And to me, that has suggested to me, and I'm writing a book on this now, that that the mechanistic view of reality is wrong, that actually this is a mass shared dream, or some people call that a relational ontology or a participatory reality where consciousness is primary. And that's a beautiful flip to make. That really changes everything, which is, again, why I'm saying when we start with these big questions and then we ask the questions then, okay, if everything is collapsing and that's just what's going on right now, who do I want to be in that collapse? How do I want to be in this situation? What legacy do I want to leave behind for my children and for the future generations? The answers to these questions will necessarily inform the details of how we spend our days. So that's what I mean. That's how I see this principle applied to Zone 00 design. Got to keep moving. Number 8, integrate rather than segregate. So of course, and I think we're all familiar with the idea of function stacking, and we want that to be true in our lives. You know, when I spend time building a fence, I want to be building a new space for my goats. I want to be getting exercise. I want to be teaching my son how to build a fence. I want to do as many different things accomplished at the same time because I don't have time to go do each one of these things independently. So I better be more intelligent about how I structure my day. I better be checking off multiple boxes with everything I do. Just as that's true in our designs for a space, so too can that be true in our Zone 00. And then going even deeper, when you look at that word integrate, that is the word that Carl Jung uses when he talks about doing shadow work, which is, of course, looking at the parts of yourself that you don't want to be true, right? The things that most of us say, oh, that we just shudder if we think about, you know, adrenochrome and some of the nasty stuff that we know is going on out there, but we would never, well, part of Jung's whole thesis was that when we repress these things within ourselves, they appear in the world to be dealt with. And so part of the work that I think needs to be done by all of us right now is really looking deeply within ourselves, finding those things that we have disowned and repressed and are then coming up in the world, whether that's trauma or transgenerational trauma. We got to do the work on ourselves. We got to do the work on our family. And then even if you think that you're somehow perfect and don't have any problems within yourself, which I would suggest is probably wrong and means you really need to do a bit more work, all of us have been born into a really an ill society right now. All of us have some work to be doing. And so if we want to heal the world, we're going to need to do that work. We're going to need to spend some time doing some highly intentional integration of what's going on right now. And that's part of Zone 00. Number 9 and number 10, use small and slow solutions and value diversity. We can't just design our whole consciousness overnight. That doesn't work. So we're going to make small, manageable changes. We're going to observe with how that affects us. And we're going to do more of what's treating us well and then drop out the stuff that isn't serving us. Mix it up. We should be just as playful with our own lives and our own awareness as we are with our gardens and see what works. And I would also say this is all about consistency, doing a little bit every day, whether you're learning a new skill or a language or how to play an instrument. All of these things are done best a bit at a time, not all at once. It just doesn't work that way. Number 11, using edges, valuing the marginal. We want to cultivate, it's just like the garden, again, all these things. We want to cultivate a maximally biodiverse self, a biodiverse zone 00. If you're stuck in the middle, then you're stuck in rigid and brittle thinking. And you see that, of course, with like the mainstream and the mainstream media. It's just, this is the way it is and that's it. You see that also in some alternative news people that are just black-pilled to the end. And there's no breaking out of this. Or just, you know, smoke them if you got them. Sorry, guys, it's over. This is really broken thinking. And it doesn't help us. And so we can discard that and go back to these edges where there's the opportunity for change. Some of those edges could be in dreams, what's happening in your dreams. It's where science meets spirituality. Again, with the participatory reality, I think is really interesting. And this is how we're going to find a way to be collapse aware, but not fall into the black pill, to be pest resistant. And I think fear is a big pest for a lot of people. And then finally, number 12, how to creatively use and respond to change. Just as is true in everything else, so too in our consciousness, change is a constant. So a good design has to be flexible here, as with anywhere else. Our consciousness is changing. Our beliefs are changing. They probably should be. Other people around us are going to be changing in their beliefs too. So a good zone 00 design needs to be flexible. It's not going to fall apart. You're not going to collapse when you're older suddenly or gradually, or if there's a change in your health, or if there's a change in your family or your marriage, or if your garden dies, or if your animals run away, or if the world economy collapses. A good zone 00 design is anticipating these things in such a way that I always love to throw the word in, anti-fragile. A good design here can't just tolerate these changes. In fact, it can thrive in them and demonstrate to the people around you how to improve their own designs. So that's a lightning speed trip through zone 00 and how I think the permaculture principles apply to this forgotten zone in permaculture. It's also the answer, by the way, to what has always been the most common question that I got as Ice Age farmer, which is, where can I do permaculture if I don't have land? You know, I'm a caretaker of my aging father, or I'm stuck in a job, or for whatever reason, I can't afford land. There's a number of reasons, but the question was often, I don't have, you know, garden to work in. So how do I do it? This is how you apply the permaculture principles. And I think it might fundamentally be the most important place to start doing that. When you cultivate your awareness, then everything else will necessarily flow from there, because it already does. Everything we're experiencing comes from our consciousness. And it's also a good place to do that work, because no government can repossess your breath or hijack your gratitude battery or tax your relationships, right? This is something that we can all work on and that is immune to this encroaching totalitarian nonsense. So that's how I think we regenerate the world, is we do it from the inside out. I want to thank everyone again working at the People's Reset there, and thank you there in Morello and everyone at home. It has been an absolute honor to be a part of this, and I am very grateful for being here. So thanks very much. And yes, as Derek said, you can find me at unshadowed.org. Continuamos. I don't speak Spanish, but I can tell that says continue. So, yeah, if we have time, then zone 00. Let me also say, there are some people doing work on this. So there's, and I should have had that list ready, but this is not a novel concept. That name has been used, and there are definitely, this is part of valuing the edges, right? If permaculture was the edge, well, as permaculture got bigger, now there are edges within edges. And so there are people who are talking about zone 00 and how you apply permaculture to consciousness and to self-care There's a couple of blogs that have touched on that, and then a few that are even explicitly around this. And I wish I had. There was one women's permaculture guild that has done some work on this, although clearly the concepts are applicable to folks from all genders. And at any rate, if you just go search for Zone 00, you'll be able to find some of this. And you know, I'm not inventing this here on the spot. So I'm standing on the shoulders of some great thinkers, of giants. And check it out. And if you're new to permaculture, I would absolutely recommend that you check out these 12 design principles, because they don't just work, as you know, this has been, maybe come back to this after you've seen how they work in the traditional permaculture sense, the original design principles applied to garden. And then people have extended, as Derek said, people have extended it from just the garden and the food growing domain into financial aspects. How do we design systems that work in a way that are a virtuous cycle, that are more aligned with nature instead of an extractive thing that is collapsing right now? There's a reason, like I said, all these different vectors are collapsing right now, and that's because they're poor designs. And so and part of the reason this conference is so important is because it's doing that thinking. It's thinking about how do we redesign these systems, the finances, the communities, how do we live our lives? And then as Zone Zero suggests, how do we even approach this fundamental thing of what is reality, and how do we interact with it, and how do we think about ourselves and what we are and who we are and how we want to be? So, oh yeah. And so if there's questions, I'd love to take some of those.
All right, brother. Let's make some noise for Christian Westbrook real quick, everybody. So grateful for you, brother. Yeah, we do have a couple extra minutes, so we've got one question over here. We're going to go to Nadim real quick. He's got a question for you.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. Hey, Christian, it's Nadim. Great to connect with you through the digital sphere, brother. So I really appreciate the Zone 00 talking about the inward work and bringing in the Jungian shadow aspect and the inner healing and all of that. So what could you provide, like, an example of a practical solution afterwards? Like, what's after Zone 00? And, like, could you just give a quick example of that? Like, after the result of Zone 00 being completed, like, what we can do moving forward?
Nadine, great question, and thank you. Good to connect with you also. I would point out that the idea that you can complete your Zone 00 might be, yeah, definitely. So I think there's always more work to be done there. And of course, that we already said, it's an iterative process and so forth. But yeah, and this ties back to what I was saying. When you start answering those questions about yourself about yourself and who you want to be and how you want to approach reality, that's going to inform the way you spend your time and the way you answer all of these other questions. And so, whereas before, I'll just use my own example. You know, I thought it was bringing in preconceived notions. I was like, oh, I have got to be a prepper. I've got to have land. I've got to have chickens. And some of those things I loved, and they worked beautifully. But there was inflexibility in my design there, right? And I had these preconceived notions of the things that I had to do, and I wasn't happy if I didn't do them right. And I think that's part of why my own design for across the board for my life, and as it turned out for that space, didn't work out, is because the things perhaps that would have been better, you know, chickens might not have been the right thing for that. I was bringing in too much of what I saw in the Ozarks, and saying, well, I can do that here in California. And it turns out it's a very different place. And then maybe, you know, maybe being a prepper wasn't the right thing for me, or the right way to think about why I was doing these things. I actually, just to zoom out even from that, when I came into doing the things I was doing were motivated by fear and by thinking, if I'm aware of these things, I should be a prepper. And so I should be growing food, instead of by, man, I freaking love gardening. And that's a better reason to do it, right? That's why I get joy from it. And that's why I do it now. And so it is also like a reaction to what's going on, and it's still using the outward view. Like I'm still trying to, if as Desmet said, if totalitarian technocratic ridiculousness is the natural result of a mechanistic worldview, then I was still working from that same worldview. I was still thinking, if I do enough out there, right? I wasn't thinking here. If I do enough out there, if I have enough chickens, if I have enough whatevers, if I work hard enough, then I'll be insulated from the problems, right? Then I can get far enough away from the climate. No, it doesn't work that way. We are part of this, and we're going through a collapse of human systems right now. And the solution is not to insulate yourself from it or control reality well enough that it's not affecting you. It's to really accept that and integrate it. And then again, ask those questions. Okay, if that's happening, who and how do I want to be in that? What legacy do I want to leave behind? And that may or may not be a prepper, but it's what's going to work for you. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Christian. Let's make some noise for Christian Westbrook, everybody. Thank you for joining us today, brother. Thank you for streaming in for us. Again, you can find him at Unshadowed on Substack and on Telegram and elsewhere.